Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series on biblical characters. Today we want to look at the team of Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla, a team for Christ. First, we want to look at the traits that Aquila and Priscilla possessed. First of all, they were industrious. They were industrious. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 18, if you would. The book of Acts, chapter 18. And in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, we want to read together the first three verses. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought for by their occupation they were tent makers. Here was a time when the Apostle Paul was badly in need of a method of supporting himself, for he was in an area where he did not choose to permit the people to support him with offerings, and he needed a job. Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers, and as was the custom with all professional men in that day and time, Paul had been taught a trade. There was a saying among the Jews, "He who fails to teach his son a trade teaches him to be a thief." All Jewish families tried to teach their children two ways of making a living. Paul was trained both as a lawyer and as a tent maker. The second thing we want to see as we look at the traits of Aquila and Priscilla, not only were they industrious, amen, hardworking, but they followed the man of God. They followed the man of God. Look at in verses 18 and 19 of Acts chapter 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Chenscherea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So we see here that Paul had felt that it was time for him to leave Corinth and go across to Ephesus. Perhaps he asked Aquila and Priscilla to follow him, or perhaps the Lord led them to follow. In either case, they were following the man of God. Since God first gave the word, it has been his method of instructing one person and the remainder following the leadership of the one. So we see that they were industrious, Aquila and Priscilla. They followed the man of God. Thirdly, as we look at their traits, amen, they were careful teachers. They were careful teachers. Look at in verse number 26 of Acts 18. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What we find here is that Priscilla and Aquila had gone to the synagogue to hear a visiting speaker, for they had heard of his eloquence. They came to be taught of him. they found that there was something lacking in that which he was teaching, and then had the opportunity to help a teacher who needed some help in his doctrinal position. So we see then that they were careful teachers. Another trait we want to see of Aquila and Priscilla is they protected their preacher. They protected their preacher, the Apostle Paul. For this, we want to turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16 with me. In Romans chapter 16, let's look together at verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, and he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." We see here in Romans chapter 16 that Paul writes, commending those who had been helpers, who had been a real blessing to him. In Romans chapter 16, in fact, there were 26 people, 26 individuals that Paul mentioned who were helpers. But notice that Paul begins the list with "greet Priscilla and Aquila," and then says, "who have for my life laid down their own necks." There are many people who perhaps would lay down their life for Jesus. But how many people would be willing to lay down their lives for another human being? My friend, what a tremendous example of Christian fidelity, of real Christian friendship, of a deep respect and love from one person for a preacher of the gospel. Then we also see, as we're looking at the traits of Aquila and Priscilla, we want to see that they were cherished by their preacher. The Apostle Paul cherished them. Let's turn to 2 Timothy for a moment. 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, this is said to be the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote at the end of his life, just before he was beheaded for the cause of Christ and for preaching the gospel. Again, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul writes, "Salute Prisca," that's Priscilla, "and Aquila." Amen. He says to greet them. He cherished them. Amen. As I said, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last writing that we have from Paul, who well knew that he was going to die. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And then he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, he doesn't forget those that he loves. Even though he's close to being put to death, he still remembers Priscilla and Aquila there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. And he says, "Salute Prisca and Aquila." You know, what a touching time for the old man of God, knowing that it was time for him to go to be with the Lord, to take this moment and give the greetings to some people he remembered as having helped him. Amen. You will note in the same chapter in verse 14, he tells of one who did not help him but was opposed to him. We read in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 4, Alexander the coopersmith did me much evil. Here we see him mentioning someone who had opposed him, did him much evil. Let me ask you this, my friend. If the time came for your preacher to go to be with the Lord, how would he regard you as he looked back over his life? I pray that he cherished your friendship, your fellowship. I pray that you take care of your preacher and love him and respect him as Aquila and Priscilla did. Amen. Now we want to turn our attention at the traits specifically of Priscilla. Now, Priscilla was an old-fashioned lady. The word Priscilla is a diminutive or a nickname for Prisca, which means ancient or antique. Now, this is not alluding to the fact that she was an old lady, but to the fact that she was a lady who adhered to the old ways. You see, Priscilla was not swayed by every modern trend that came along her way. There are some old-time characteristics that should never be changed, my friend. A lady has the highest compliment paid to her when someone calls her an old-fashioned lady. Amen. We might also take a moment here to reflect on the fact that names connote something. Amen. In fact, we should be most careful in naming our children, should we not? For example, how many children, male children, have you known whose name was Judas? Or how many have named their daughter Jezebel? Amen. By the same token, there are other names that have good connotations, and we should be most careful to decide which to use in naming the children. Amen. We see that Priscilla was a woman who adhered to what the scriptures say in Titus chapter 2. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2 for a moment together. In Titus chapter 2, Paul writes this letter to Titus. And he pens these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in second chapter of Titus, verses 3 to 5. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keep her at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Priscilla was a woman who fit this description, who adhered to these principles in the word of God. Amen. You see, cleanliness, quietness, courtesy, staying at home, and all of the attributes. These are attributes that are recognizable of being those of an old-fashioned lady. Amen. That's what Priscilla was, an old-fashioned lady. Amen. She believed the scriptures. She was a woman of God. She believed the promises of God. She obeyed the word of God. Amen. Something else about Priscilla, another trait. She did not let persecution stop her from serving. We see that, we read earlier there in chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila had been run out of Rome because the Roman rulers felt the Christians were upsetting their city. They were displaced persons. And either Priscilla was a Roman citizen or she had lived in Rome so long that she had accepted a Roman name. It was usual for Jew living in Rome to accept a Roman name, but only after many years of residency. So this lady probably considered herself a native of Rome. She was caused to be removed from her native city because of persecution. Yet when the time came for her to suffer other persecutions, as in Ephesus, as Paul mentions in Romans chapter 16, she was willing to lay her neck down once again. When Paul met them in Corinth, it would have been very easy for her to have refused to accept him into her household, for she did not want, amen, to be mixed up with controversy once again, see? But what did she do? She was willing to accept him, amen. She was willing to take whatever fallout, whatever persecution would come, as a result of accepting Paul into her household, into her house. Amen. Both she and her husband laid down their necks, laid down their lives for the Apostle Paul. That's why he cherished them so much and loved them so much, because they loved Paul so much that they were willing to give their lives for him. Another trait about Priscilla, Priscilla was a spiritual, smart lady who let her husband lead. You see, Priscilla is never mentioned apart from her husband. And yet you see her in the scripture for today's lessons that Priscilla was the more outspoken of the two. In fact, most commentators believe that she was the more spiritual of the two. Yet everywhere she went, he also went. She was a lady knowing more than her husband, but not telling him all the time that she knew more. She served the Lord, no matter what his spiritual condition was. Dwell for a moment on the fact. Dwell for a moment on the fact that we dare not let anybody else determine our spirituality. We see that Priscilla, in regards to allowing her husband to lead, was obedient. She obeyed what the scriptures command in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 to 12. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. Verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says this: let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. You know, and even though she may have known more, amen, spiritually than her husband, she allowed him to rule. She did not usurp his headship, his authority that God had given him as spiritual leader of his household. Amen. Another characteristic or another trait that we want to see about Priscilla was she had church in her home wherever she went. You know, of course, back then, most churches were in homes, not in the buildings that we're used to today. Amen. Let me ask you a question, my friend listening today. If you were asked today to have a church service in your home next Sunday, what would you have to do, amen, before you could have a service? What would you have to do before you would be willing to invite a group of Christians into your home, amen? Are there some things that you need to get rid of? Amen. That shouldn't be there. That you shouldn't be listening to or watching or reading. Amen. You see, Priscilla had church. Her house was always in such a condition that she could have church services in her home. Her home was such that she could always invite other Christians in for fellowship. Amen. For a time of prayer. Amen. We also want to see something out, another trait about Priscilla, is she was courteous and tactful. Amen. These seem to be two things that are missing in many Christians' lives, even many Christian leaders, preachers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, amen. Note something in Acts chapter 18 with me. Acts chapter 18. You see, they come across this man called Apollos. He was a teacher and preacher. In Acts chapter 18. And let's pick it up in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." So we see that Aquila and Priscilla meet this man, Apollos, had heard of his reputation that he was an eloquent speaker, amen? So they come and they listen to what he had to say. And they noticed that he needed some instructions, amen? Because all he had known was the baptism of John the Baptist, amen? The baptism of repentance, amen? John's baptism was to manifest the Messiah to Israel. And that was in the past. Now we're in there in the age of grace, amen. A person is saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, now. And as an act of obedience, submitting to believer's baptism after an individual was saved. But this, he didn't know. So he needed to be instructed. And it would have been so easy for Aquila to have gone to others to have said, "This fellow is making mistakes in his teaching." Amen. She could have gone there and said, "Hey, wait a minute, he doesn't know what he's talking about." And we believe, again, as we said, that she was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. Amen. And obviously she and her husband knew more than Apollos. And of course, he had limited information. He hadn't been exposed to this change, amen, from John's baptism to believer's baptism, amen, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Or, you know, it would have been so easy for them to find Apollos in a crowd and say to him, "You need to be saved." Or, "We want to tell you where you made a mistake." You know, they could have been very critical, jumped down this guy's throat, amen, as many of the brethren do today. We know how they can be, amen. But what did they do? She and her husband called the teacher aside quietly and privately said, "Let us show you where we may help you." They came to him humbly. They instructed him. And that's why I believe they received him. If they had come on strong like gangbusters, say, "Hey, buddy, you're not saved, first of all, and you don't know, amen, what you're talking about." But see, this man, Apollos' heart was right. He wanted to know what he needed to do to be right with God, and he wanted to tell others, amen. And because they approached him humbly, he received them humbly and listened to them. Amen. And praise the Lord for that, because we read, because of what they did and how they entreated him and instructed him, Apollos goes on and is mightily used of the Lord, and many people are saved and believe on Christ. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. We need to remember that. You know, we got these, a lot of times as Bible believers, we can get very puffed up. "Knowledge puffeth up," as the Word of God says. Amen. And especially above the King James Bible, amen, I believe that's the Word of God. It's God's preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. And a lot of people don't know, understand that King James Bible issue, amen. And, you know, we've got to be careful not to get up on our high horse and say, "I'm going to straighten that individual out." Need to come to them humbly and say, "I'd like to show you some things. I don't know if you've seen this before." Amen. We can learn from Aquila and Priscilla, can we not? We want to see one last trait here of Priscilla. She was faithful to services and loved preaching. You know, she would have never known that Apollos needed help had it not been accustomed to go to hear the outstanding men who came to preach. Amen. I doubt seriously that she went out to the synagogue to look for mistakes. Amen. When she went to listen to Apollos, she went there to learn something on her own. You know, not all of us can be preachers or teachers, but all of us can learn from these by a simple, old-fashioned Christian lady in helping others through the years, amen, of her Christian experience. What a wonderful testimony both Aquila and Priscilla had. They're a dynamite team for Christ. And what a godly woman Priscilla was. What a godly example for women to follow, amen. Well, that concludes our study today on the pastor's study on Aquila and Priscilla. Next time we come together, we'll continue our series of studies on biblical characters. And I want to thank each and every one of you. This is Brother Gino. I thank you for joining me today for the pastor's study. I hope that, Lord willing, you can be with me next time. And until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.